Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another stupendous edition of the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am Pastor John McClain with the Batman to my Superman. We are the illustrious duo. We are the motivational quartet with just two men. And his name is Andreas Ruiz with I Believe in Myself. Thank you once again for being here with me, brother.
Yes, man. I'm super excited. And we have a very special guest today. And I'm just really excited for today, man. It's a beautiful Sunday.
It is a beautiful Sunday. It is, yeah, and it's weird. It's like the year is winding down.
I know, man.
And here we are, alive in one piece.
Yep.
Among friends and loved ones. And you're right, we have a great show today. We had a great show last week with Saad Alawi with Healing Arizona Veterans, representing North Star Hyperbaric Oxygen Treatment, mm-hmm. Speaking with us. And then we also had Dr. J, which is like crazy. The small world of Tucson, or the small world of the world.
Yeah.
We have someone who tells us right before we go on is the brother of said woman, who's one of our favorite people, and his name is Jerry. He is in the studio, which is like, it's funny, when I was given the information that you're beyond, only information they gave me is your name's Jerry. Okay. So I was going to, every segment I was going to give you a different last name.
Excellent.
Yeah. And so this segment you're going to be Jerry Kawasaki.
Perfect.
So yeah, so we have Jerry Kawasaki with Gap Ministries, with the Community Warehouse with Gap Ministries here with us, and nice. I got the honor and good luck to meet him in studio, or actually out of studio, in person at Community Warehouse last week, because cool. Veteran Rescue Mission is one of the many organizations that's partnered with Gap Ministries, and I got to see all the cool things that they did, as well as we volunteer pretty much every Wednesday at the Community Kitchen with Chef John, who I believe is watching us on Facebook Live right now. And we have nothing but great things to say about Gap Ministries and these amazing people that are surround Gap Ministries. And then today on this show, we have our, it's a little fun. We've been so busy doing so many great things lately. We haven't had Pastor John's verse of the week, but I actually have a verse this week,
okay,
as well as some other goodies. And then we'll have our I Believe in Ourselves, or I Believe in Myself, tip of the week by Andreas Ruiz. And then the second half of the show, we get to hang out with Jerry Kawasaki to speak about Gap Ministries and the Community Warehouse and all the awesome things that are going on there. Mm-hmm. So
awesome. Let's do it.
So
let's rock and roll.
Like we always do, though, we are going to give the grace to the one who is most deserving of said grace, because without him, we wouldn't have any of these blessings, any of these amazing things that come our way. So we're going to give up to God, and we'll start it off with the serenity prayer. So God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Love one day at a time, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Nice. Yeah.
And as usual, I love to start it off that way. Certainly love giving the grace of God. I'm so grateful and appreciative. And to kind of jumpstart what we have today, I do have a verse of the day, but I just want to read the verse, and then I want to talk about why I'm so thankful to God and all the blessings God put in our life lately. Mm-hmm. So the verse of the week today is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And for those that, you know, aren't a big lover of love within the Bible, you may not know this verse, but this is one of the many verses that kind of circles around love and in a way for you to kind of to look at love. And it goes like this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. So that's your Pastor John's verse of the week. And I believe I've had this be a verse of the week before, but I think you can't go wrong with this one. And I wanted to certainly make sure that if that wasn't etched into our Common Good radio listeners' heads, it will be now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
So this week, I certainly want to talk about a lot of the cool stuff that we've been doing, which you've been able to be part of. But we've had, you know, double guests, had so much going on that we haven't been able to talk about it. Spanning back to, we did that camp out. So 2 days, I spent the night on the streets, living on the streets in the middle of downtown Tucson. And during the day, we set up a table and gave out food and water and clothes. And you brought out, I don't know, how many cases of water did you end up donating for us?
Like
five or six cases?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
at least you're like 1,000. Yeah, something like that.
1,001.
Yeah, so you know, you brought a whole bunch of cases out with your sons, and they threw around the ball in the park.
It was
an awesome experience. And then at night, we set up cots and handed out blankets. The first night, which was crazy, we had a pregnant woman and her partner that we set up cots for and gave blankets to. So it was a lot, but it was amazing to kind of experience that. And primarily the big reason why our church and our ministry does that is just to kind of be reminded of that, you know, of that struggle and why it's so needed. So that was definitely a blessing to have that experience. And then the following Sunday, this past Sunday, we did the premiere of the documentary about, you know, pretty much that work that we've been doing for the past 10 years. And that went well. I mean, I guess, give me your take of that.
No, man, that was very inspirational. And I even got emotional, man, because it was just so powerful. What you've done, what you've been through. I think I got to know you even better as a person and a human being. And I was like, man, I was really touched by it. So I can't wait for it to come on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And speaking of which, I have a copy of it for you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah, I got
a
copy.
It was powerful, bro.
And those who didn't get a chance to see it, you'll definitely, there'll be other showings, but also go to Here Comes That Dreamer. You can see the trailer and other little snippets that are available for you out in the world. But yeah, that was an amazing experience. And then also, I was able to, you know, continuously we're selling plenty of copies of my book, Dear Alyssa, Here Comes, or Dear Alyssa, How to Guide to Social Change. You know, it's kind of splicing so many things going on. And that's been amazing. And it all feeds kind of just one beast, which is, you know, Veteran Rescue Mission, the homeless veteran transition program to help match veterans with the benefits that are necessary to help minimize veteran suicide. So definitely, you know, give us a call, 790-2040. If you want to talk with us, you want to talk with one of our guests, if you want to help Veteran Rescue Mission, definitely go to veteranrescuemission.org. Or if you want to check out the documentary I just mentioned, go to herecomesthatdreamer.org. We'll be back right after these messages. Thank you for listening to Common Good Radio Show, and we appreciate you. I can't wait to hear you again.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. I'm your coach and speaker, Andres Ruiz, alongside with the great John McClain, and we have Jerry.
John McClain, thank you.
Jerry in the house. So
Jerry in the house.
I'm excited, man. And today, for my motivational tip of the week, I want to talk about follow the follower. And this is something that I think that when we're in high school, when we're growing up, there's a time where we start following everybody. I don't know if this happened to Jerry or to John, but it happened to me. I was following the follower. And what I mean by that is when we are following what everybody else is doing, we end up like being like everybody else. And I remember I used to listen to the same music that everybody would listen to, wear the same baggy pants, the big shirts, like a cholo gangster, I guess you want to call it. And I was just following what everybody else was doing. And you know,
I went through it too, if it makes you feel any better.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. You know, the Jordans and all that good stuff. Yep. And man, when I was doing that, I was not being myself. But I was so worried about what everybody else was thinking that I said, man, I just better, you know, keep my mouth shut and be the cool guy. You know, the guy that stays quiet and, hey, what's up, man? What's going on? Yeah. And then if you see somebody jumping up and down like, hey, what's up? Hey, tone it down, bro. Like, that's not cool. You know, you can't have that too much energy. You're going to embarrass yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And really, That's the special person, man. The guy who has that energy, who has that that motivation, that inspiration within. But sometimes what happens to that guy, he gets bullied so much or made fun of so much that they beat the life out of him, and then he turns into one of us. Hmm. Turns into one of the followers. And then what happens after high school? You get out of high school, you end up doing something that you really don't want to do. I wanted to be a dentist. I did not want to be a dentist, but I went to, you know, try to be a dentist for about a year and a half, dropped out. I got into alcohol and partying. Mm-hmm. So I was like, nah. And then I started following the follower again. And then I met up some people who said, hey man, come work at this job. I ended up working at a job that, again, following the follower. Everybody was watching the same TV shows. Everybody was listening to the same music. And it was like high school all over again. A good friend of mine, Karen, she would tell me, a job is like high school with a paycheck. Mm. And I said, interesting. Yeah. Everybody's doing the same thing. I remember I used to watch shows just so I could have a conversation with people who were watching the same show, because I just wanted to fit in. Mm. I really didn't want to watch that show. I was just doing it because everybody else was doing it.
Mm. And so you're saying you didn't really like Dawson's Creek?
Yeah, Dawson's Creek is different. Okay, oh, okay. I love Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's a different story. Yeah. But you know, when you're doing all this stuff, man, you get conditioned again. And then what happens in life? You start doing what everybody else is doing again.
Mm.
And then little by little, it's like this great quote by Les Brown that says, "Many people die at age 25, and then they're buried at 65." Which means that at age 25, your goals, your dreams, they die.
Mm.
And you're dead. And then you're just walking for 40 years until you're 65 to your grave.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people who are walking this world that are really not happy with what they're doing. And why? Because they followed the follower. And I remember I used to work at a home for the elderly. And there was this great man who I met there, Dan. And, you know, I hung out with Dan. I would talk to him and say, hey, what's up, Dan? How you doing? And, you know, we had great conversations. He was a police officer. He did things that he really didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And it was because he was too concerned about what people might think or say about him. And I remember we hung out with Dan. I remember this one November, man, around Thanksgiving time. Wow, that's crazy, man. Time flies. And I remember one time talking to Dan, and he says, he would call me son. He's like, hey, can I call you my son? Because that's another regret he had. He never had a kid. Mm-hmm. And he would tell me, hey, son, you know, I just want to let you know that I'm very grateful for you. I'm grateful for you keeping me company here. I feel like you kept me alive. And I remember I was crying, man, because I just made an impact in this man's life. And I remember that months later in January, it was a really cold morning. I was walking down the hallway, and I saw that Dan's room was empty. And I went in there, and a cleaning lady was there, and I was like, hey, where's Dan? And she said, oh, I'm sorry. Dan passed away this morning. And I said, oh, man, I got really sad. I was crying. And I got really sad that Dan passed away. But what made me even more sad was that this man, he never really followed his goals and his dreams.
Mm.
Why? Because he was following the follower.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really truly did what he wanted to do, because it was his choice. No, it was somebody else's choice. But you know what? That gave me motivation. That inspired me. I said, I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to take my goals, my dreams with me to the grave. I'm not going to follow the follower. I'm not going to follow the follower anymore. I'm going to lead the way. And I'm going to pave the way for other people who want to take their life to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Who want that dream, that desire, something that's within them, you know. And I don't care how old you are, man. Like, I have people who have coached who are in their 60s, and they want to be a coach. You know, they're like, you know what? I'm tired of being a janitor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a coach. I want to do something different with my life. And you know what? That's beautiful that even if you're 60, 70, 100, I don't care how old you are. If you have that spark and you say, you know what? I want to leave this earth. I want to make an impact before I die. Look at Colonel Sanders, man. 65 years old, started KFC. Why not you? You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 20, you could be 40, you could be 50, 60. You can still start living the way that you want to live your life and stop following the follower. Because I still see people who are in their 50s, 60s, they're still following the follower. And let's keep it real, man. You've seen those people in your life. They're still doing the same exact same thing they were when they were in high school. Why? Because they never decided to make that choice and say, I'm going to live life on my terms. I'm going to live the life that I desire. I'm going to stop living the life of other people. because I'm always trying to please other people. The people pleaser. Stop pleasing people, man. Start pleasing yourself. That's what you have to do in order for you to live a life that you desire. I have friends who are surgeons, doctors, lawyers. They hate their job. I have clients who are working high-end jobs, getting paid six figures, still miserable. Why? Because they're not doing what they wanted to do. They're doing what everybody else wants to. They're doing what they want other people to see. Why? So they can buy that nice car. So that they can impress people that they don't even like. It's unfortunate that that's how we live our lives sometimes. We're trying to, you know, keep up with the Joneses, I guess they say, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to show this flashy stuff. I don't care, man. I'd rather be making $20,000, $30,000 doing something that I love as opposed to be making six figures and being unhappy with my life. Mm-hmm. And that's the honest truth, man. I see it, man. I see a lot of people who are making a lot of money, but they're still miserable. You see, because even if you make money, you have to remember, you have to bring you with that money. Mm-hmm. When you have that big mansion, you're going to have to bring yourself with that mansion. And if you're still unhappy, you will never be happy. That's why when you start doing what you love, that's when you'll truly be happy. But if you continue to follow society's expectations or other people's expectations, you will always be a miserable person. So when are you going to make that decision to do what it is that you want to do? When would now be a good time to get started? You know what I'm saying?
I love when you say that.
I throw people off. I'm always like, so I ask my client, so when would now be a good time to get started? Now? Okay, cool. Then you're going to get started today. Go walk 5 miles or 5 minutes. Yeah. That's it. I don't know. What are your thoughts, guys?
I love it. Yeah. And it's almost like kind of the other, looking at the pyramid from a different direction to what Dr. J was talking about last show when she was talking about being a leader and just how important it is in being a leader and how it's, you know, scary, it's difficult. But if you don't be a leader, there's a consequence. And pretty much you just describe what is the consequence of not being a leader and what it looks like spending your whole life being a follower, and not only being a follower but following people that are following others. Mm-hmm. So it's not only are you not being a leader, but you're really kind of, there's this domino effect of you kind of following the people that are followers. So that's cool that you kind of brought that to realization. I certainly like your two cents, Jerry, as we have about 1 minute popping out here.
I think in many cases, it's fear. Mm-hmm. People are afraid. You know, gosh, what do I do? You know, if I do something wrong, they're all going to. And no, people will follow. And then not only that, but if you have a good idea, a good concept, and it comes from your heart and you have passion, mm-hmm. I believe that that's leadership in itself. Mm-hmm. And people will follow you even though you haven't officially put the leadership title or cloak on. Mm-hmm. And so many people are leaders. I mean, there are people that I will follow and I'm not much of a follower. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've led, I've owned businesses, I've done things, and it's you just, as long as you have a passion and the ability and you care about the people that are following you, I think that those people make very powerful people.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Thank you, Jerry, for sharing that. Yeah, guys. So thank you for joining us here for the Common Good Radio Show. We will be right back after these messages, and we'll be back with the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veterans Rescue Mission.
Hello and welcome back one more again to the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am the one, the only, the Pastor John McClain, also brought to you by the one and only Veteran Rescue Mission. And I'm in studio with Mr. I Believe in Myself himself, Andreas Ruiz.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being with me, homie, and help me lead That's this right, little homie. Parade. Like every now and again, like you're steering and I shoot, and every now and again I'm steering, you shoot.
I know, man. It's a good balance.
It is. Yeah. It's beautiful. And you just left us with an amazing I Believe in Myself tip of the week, which we've been missing that. And that was
a good
kiss on, don't follow followers, people. Come on, keep your eyes open.
Yes.
Like, it's okay to follow people, especially good leaders. Mm-hmm. Certainly, as Jerry kind of mentioned.
Yeah, I like that, how you put that.
If you find somebody who's worth following, you better follow them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
By golly.
Success leaves clues. Remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Pee Wee in the house. That was my Pee Wee.
That was good.
All right, yeah, right.
So, I guess without further ado, which I found out during the break, Mr. Jerry Kawasaki in studio with us isn't actually Jerry Kawasaki.
Jerry McGuire. No, just kidding.
Well, what else we got? Jerry
Smith. No, it's Smith.
Yeah, it's Smith. Oh, he gave it away. So he has about as rudimentary of a name as it is. This is Mr. Jerry Smith in studio with us from Gap Ministries Community Warehouse. Thank you, brother.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
Afternoon,
yeah.
Yes.
And like I mentioned earlier, I got to meet him last week and got to haggle with him on excellent prices out of the community warehouse. But it's an amazing place. It really is. Mm-hmm. And like, without kind of giving away all how amazing this place is and kind of spelling it all out, I guess I'll ask you, Jerry, what is Gap Ministries Community Warehouse exactly?
It's the community's warehouse.
Oh, okay.
It's, you know, talking about leadership and feeling the passion and the commitment and for the community, you know, of any walk of life.
Mm.
But, you know, when you have good leadership, it's easy to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg and Pam and the entire administration team, I've never seen such generous people. And they're like, no, this... We need to go do this. We need to go do that. And it's all the right things. It's not making money. It's not about anything. It's like, we have these things and we want to get it out to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes the hardest part is, you know, like being the best kept secret. Mm-hmm. Now that you don't want to be, you know, it's like, well, where are you located? You know, Gap, I've heard that, but I don't know what is the community warehouse?
Mm-hmm.
The community warehouse is many different things. We do a lot of food distribution, and we can get into that about the different kinds of programs and how much we've given out. Well over 1 million pounds of food so far this year.
Wow, it's amazing.
And the need is tremendous, and everything that comes in, we send out the doors. So it's quite amazing. The community warehouse also is, it's not just like a food bank. It's not just food distribution. It's non-food items as well.
Okay.
We have the contracts to pick up from the super Walmarts here in Tucson through a national contract with Good 360, which is a national, very large national nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
The community warehouse, my earphones are off. The community warehouse is, we have the contracts through Good 360, and we pick those items up. The Gap has always had a warehouse, so to speak.
Mm.
In other words, a food pantry and non-food items that they got through donations or through other smaller contracts to pick up at the big box stores.
Mm.
That was to help with the housing, clothing, extra things for the kids that are in their care.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Gap also has at one time, you know, up to 13 group homes for foster children.
Which is funny you say that. I just found out that information recently, because we've been volunteering there, I want to think, for up to a year in the kitchen with Chef John, as I mentioned. And I just recently realized you guys do foster care and supervised visitations and all that kind of cool stuff. But we'll talk about
and
that good
that
later.
Is the, that so. Is the main thrust of Gap Ministries, is to help the children and allow them to be everything that God created them to be and help them recognize that.
Wow.
So everything is driven towards with that as the underlying basis. But as Greg and Pam, they said, you know, we have all this stuff, and we can get more contracts. We have the space in the warehouse. Hey, let's take on more contracts, and let's start getting these items out to other nonprofits, other foster care agencies, other anybody in need can access the community warehouse through a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be sponsored by a nonprofit if you're an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to shop there. And, you know, we can go through, there's a contract process. We need a copy of the 501c3. But, you know, the underlying or sponsoring nonprofit can provide clients with vouchers so that they can go pick out what they need or what they want. Mm-hmm. They can limit what they can buy. Someone might say they need clothes and underwear, but then they get there and they see all the cool electronics and they're like, oh, I'm going to do that. But if there are ways to keep that from happening, there's also a way to keep it safe from there being a secondary market.
Mm-hmm.
With some of our other social services that, you know, they sell for cash.
Mm.
So we do check everybody's IDs. And it's really interesting, too. It seems like just when you think you're giving away so much, and then they say, no, we want to start doing this. We want to start helping these individuals or this segment of Tucson and Southern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our reach is not just Tucson or, you know, around the Flowing Wells area.
Mm.
We actually deliver items or food to reservations that are 3 hours away.
Wild.
So,
yeah, it's amazing.
And that's a huge commitment. And, you know, Greg and Pam are like, yeah, we need to do that. And I'm like, okay.
Well, that's great. Well, we're going to talk more about what Gap Ministries is doing. After this break, we got Jerry Smith. Sorry, we revealed his name. Andreas ruined it for us. Going to be in studio with us after the break. Definitely go to veteranrescuemission.org for more information about the show. Also, we're looking for donations of cars, RVs, and any unused vehicles that you may have. We got plenty of vets that need vehicles and certainly need all the help that we can get. Again, go to veteranrescuemission.org for more information. Thank you for tuning in to Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. This is Pastor John McClain in studio with Andreas Ruiz, my I Believe in Myself buddy himself, and Mr. Jerry Smith with Gap Ministries. We'll be right back. Hey, thank you for coming back to the Common Good Radio Show. This is actually Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. That's important, I heard. This is Pastor John McClain. I'm in studio with the jokester himself, Mr. Andreas Ruiz of I Believe in Myself.
Yeah, I forgot to tell Jerry that you used to be a magician.
Yeah, I was
a magician. That's why the headset's not just...
Yeah, I wasn't ever a magician, by the way. I don't know. What were you trying to tell? I used to be a what?
A musician?
I said a musician. I was trying to say magician, but it didn't work out.
It was neither. It was a joke. Yeah. It was a joke.
Oh, yeah.
It just went over both of our heads.
It did.
It's one of those smart people jokes, isn't it?
Never mind, man.
Does it involve like ancient philosophers? Because those things always go over my joke.
Oh, my head.
No, not this one. So, anyways, yeah, this is a Common Good Radio Show, people. Here we are. And we are in studio with Mr. Jerry Smith with the Gap Ministries Community Warehouse. And before we went into break, we were talking about kind of like you came, like it was like the first day of school where it's like the teacher's like, okay, these are the things that we have to offer during this course load. Now we're going to dig in to the more particularized stuff, particularly and you and me, or your experience with Gap Ministries and what, like, I think we talked about a little bit off the break. You have, you know, a business owner background, insurance, financing, like what drew you to Gap Ministries? You know, of all the things I'm guessing that you could have done in the world, it must have been something special that brought you into those doors.
Yeah, special is one way to describe it. But, you know, with my sister's been in the Tucson area going on 30 years. So my mom, when she could no longer take care of herself, my sister brought her out. So when I was closing things down and I thought, well, if I ever get the opportunity, I want to go to where family is.
Mm.
And so and build a basis and then start, you know, maybe talking my kids and other people into moving to somewhere where you don't have to shovel snow. So yeah. It's and so I actually I kind of looked at it as a with my association with GAP was started in 2017. And I was looking for, I don't know what I was looking for, but it was like, I thought, oh, wow, adult education, you know, enhancement. I can take that culinary class, learn how to cook, learn how to use the commercial things. I've always enjoyed grilling and cooking. But so I interviewed with GAP, the culinary program, and Chef John. I went through 10 weeks of the courses, and I mean, it was, you know, Dave Ramsey, it's the whole, they get a lot of life skills while they're in there. So I fell in love with
the way that they did things. Are you saying he yelled at you the whole entire time?
Well, yeah, if you know Chef John, yes.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I would like to call Chef John a friend, and even as a friend, yeah, he could give it to you.
Well,
yeah.
He's a lot bigger than I am, so I have to be nice.
Fair enough.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, but we have the, so I went through that, and then I still didn't know if I wanted to get a job or what I wanted to do. So I would volunteer at GAP Ministries, and there in the warehouse, there's a gentleman named Rick Everett, who is the manager of the warehouse. And he, you know, he caught my heart, and that man is one of the best men that I've met in a long time, because he's very real. And you know, we always make fun of him that he can never say no. He folds up like a wet paper plate, you know, in the rain. So it's, but, you know, that's just his heart. And he has energy, and, you know, he's been a great person to work for and with.
Amazing.
So anyway, that's all been good. And then as time went on, I met gentleman by the name of Matthew Clower, or Matt Clower. He's the facilities manager and overall the logistics. And they were talking about opening a community warehouse where, hey, you know, we'll get all this product in, and then we'll have all the nonprofits come, and they can shop, and we'll have this great big, extremely cheap thrift store, so to speak, for nonprofits only. And I thought, wow, you know, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Well, that's not the way, you know, my background is in for-profit. And so you always try to look at business models and things of that nature. And the for-profit business model, never, I don't understand. But at the same time, it continues to steadily grow, but it did not have the quick start that we all thought it would. So we've changed, we've morphed, we've done things, but it's all been led with what the need is in the community, as opposed to how can we make make this more like a business. So, and we're going a lot of different directions, especially with COVID. And you know, as I was saying, the need is definitely more than twice of anything I've ever seen.
I guess let's touch on that as well. What are some of the adjustments you guys have had to make since COVID? I know we just started volunteering ourselves like most Wednesday, I think in April. So it's been COVID going on ever since we've started. So I don't know GAP, volunteering at GAP without people with masks in the hallways and kind of these little adjustments. What are kind of the particularized adjustments that have been had to be made?
On the visitation side with foster children and all that, the protocols and, you know, cleaning the toys in between every visit and yes, the masks, but we also limit traffic in the foster area. It's very much restricted. We also, we can't afford to let a child or a parent, you know, get sick while they're at a visit. I mean, that just, isn't something that we want to be a part of. But the other things, the biggest impact, I think, with GAP in general was our volunteers. Mm. I mean, we had a good thing going. We had a rhythm and a flow, and we had several groups that would come at regular intervals or two or three times a week. Mm. And when COVID came in, we sent everybody home. Mm. And then we just ran it as a skeleton crew. Mm. We had to actually deliver. We wouldn't even let the house parents come and shop for their food. We would deliver it to their home. And so every time we think we're on track for where we're wanting to go, something new has come up. Mm. But it has, if anything, it has expanded our perception or knowledge that, wow, there's a lot of need and there's a lot of things that we can do to help the community. Mm.
And I guess this, to touch on it, we have probably about 5 minutes till we're out of here. You said, you know, which is a surprising news. It's kind of cool story how you first were involved with the culinary program, which, surprisingly enough, that was what drew me to volunteering. Is I was like, I want to see what's going on over there. Maybe I'll get involved in the culinary program. I don't need to learn how to cook. You know, it's something I've certainly been on a bucket list. And then instead of getting involved in the culinary program, I just volunteered in the kitchen and cut up stuff and provided food for the free lunch program that they're involved in there. And it's amazing how that brought you there. Tell us about some other success stories that you know of in your time at the GAP Ministries.
Well, there are many success stories. A lot of them I'm not extremely familiar with, but I do know that as children age out of the foster care system that have been with GAP, we have several of them come back as adults that have been married and have children, and they just talk about the impact. I can talk to the foster children when they are in, and they, you know, once they start to mature and they've been, you know, they understand they don't have to be angry all the time, they start seeing the blessings that they've received. So many people are just so thankful of working there. I mean, everybody that works there, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, this place has been the best thing that's, you know, ever happened in their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's true. The other success stories that I see that I'm a little more familiar with are with some of the struggling nonprofits. Mm. You know, they come in and they became a partner and, you know, it seemed like they didn't have a budget and they didn't have this and they didn't have that. But yet, now they're flourishing. Things are taking root and they're just so excited, and they're probably our best and biggest advocates for what we do. Mm. You know, the word of mouth is very powerful.
So nonprofits and people that are volunteering and just, you know, the public out there that want to support GAP Ministries, how do they get involved?
On our website, which is, you know, gapmin.com, GAPMIN.com.
Okay.
And if you want to specifically find out more information on the Community Warehouse, it's TucsonCommunityWarehouse.com. There's a digital copy of our application process and or renewal forms. So, you know, everything is there to become a partner if you're a nonprofit. And at the same time, the volunteer section will be under the gapmen.com. And we're really looking for volunteers to come in and help us get this product out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jerry, for coming on the show. Thank you for representing GAP Ministries. And this is a Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain here with my buddy, Andreas Ruiz. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening, and by golly, we love you.
Yep. Peace.